Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to join me in Mark chapter 10. Eventually, we're going to get to verses 46 to 52 of Mark 10. While you're looking that up, just a quick show of hands. How many of you in this room have ever done a home renovation project? Quick show of hands, home renovation project. Keep them up if you are excited about trying your next one out. Anyone? Oh, okay, there's some excitement over here. Often, home renovation projects are absolutely amazing in the transformation that they bring, but they also can take over your entire life. It is a lot of work to move through that kind of transformation. Well, we're beginning a series today that's focused on the concept of renovation. Renovation could be defined as to restore something to a good state of repair. The word itself comes from the Latin word renovat, which means to make something new again. A true renovation is more than a tweak. It's not just a new coat of paint. It's not some new artwork on the wall. It often involves extensive demolition, and only because that extensive demolition is engaged in can true transformation come on the other side. The same is true when it comes to our souls. True renovation often requires extensive demolition, but it's only when that long, painful demolition is done that the true soul transformation takes place. And our God is in the renovation business. He wants to make us new. He wants to transform us. And we have to pause at the outset of a series like this, as we're about to focus on these spiritual practices and the possibility of true soul transformation in our lives, and realize that God desires our healing and transformation more than we do. Think on that for a moment. Our God desires our healing and transformation even more than we do. I think at times we forget that. At times we operate in this world in a way where the spiritual practices or the disciplines or any of the pieces that form our faith practices become things that we're doing to simply please God, or maybe trying to impress God, or maybe hoping that we can get God's attention through the things that we're doing, and we feel like we're not measuring up and God is aloof and far off. And yet the reality is, Scripture bears this out, our God desires our healing and transformation. Our God invites us into the spiritual practices, into all of the elements of our faith, so that we can be drawn closer and closer to Him, and so that our souls can be transformed as they were created to be. It's this renovation process which leads to transformation that we're going to be talking about in these next 8 weeks. We're going to begin this morning, though, with two renovation realities that I think we need to understand in order to make the right approach to this entire concept. Two renovation realities. The first, we can't do this project on our own. We can't. It doesn't matter how hard we want to, or how much we want to, or how hard we work, we cannot do this project on our own. The work that God wants to do in our souls is beyond anything that we could ever finish on our own. This renovation is actually a natural extension of our own salvation. We're saved by grace, and we're renovated by that same grace. The renovation and transformation of our souls is a lifelong process that's empowered by God's Holy Spirit who resides within us. Now, that won't stop some of us from trying to take over along the way, trying to do it ourselves, trying to use our own resources. But attempting soul transformation on our own will fail every time. It only then amounts to some type of external self-improvement. When Mandy and I bought our current home 18 years ago, we learned this lesson the hard way. Not many of you saw that house in the condition it was when we first purchased it. It looked nothing like it does now, but we saw what it could become, and we were willing to give it a shot. And one of the reasons we were willing to give it a shot was because our first house that we had purchased 10 years before that was an absolute wreck. It was uninhabitable when we bought it, and yet my father-in-law, Howard, He's like a Superman with his tools and all of his construction skills. And so when we bought that first house, we worked for months and months and months and months, and it was transformed. It became a gem. It became this beautiful space to live. And I followed Howard around just doing whatever he told me to do. I ran all of his errands. I learned how to do some of the construction myself. It was an absolutely amazing experience. And so fast forward 10 years after that to the purchase of our current home, and Mandy and I said, we got this. We've done this before. We know what we're doing. We're going to renovate and transform this house. It was right around then that my father-in-law says, just so you guys know, I'm 10 years older now, and my schedule's pretty busy. And so know going into this purchase that you're going to have to do the majority of the work yourself. He said, no sweat. We got this. We've done it before. Well, 3 weeks later, I'm in a deep depression. I failed at every single project that I've attempted on the house, and Mandy and I finally had to sit down together and said, it's time to hire some professionals. So we hired the professionals, they came in, they finished off the renovations, and it's a glorious place to live today. But we were naive to think that we had the skills ourselves in order to engage in this, and the same is true when it comes to our soul transformation. To think that this is just some sort of a self-improvement project is to be naive. It's to miss what God really wants to do inside of us. To try and take it on our own, we might be able to fake it for a little while. We might be able to make some progress, but we're not going to be transformed down to the deepest parts of ourselves the way God intends for each of us to be. Paul summarizes this reality well in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed for our entire lives by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. We can't do this project on our own. The second renovation reality goes with it. We need to participate in the process. Sometimes we think we can't do this project on our own, and so then we disengage from the process. We lay back and we say, well, God's all-powerful. God, have your way in me. And we don't do anything to participate or to engage along the way. But we need to participate in this process. We have a role to play in our renovation. God wants us to cooperate with the work he's doing. Let's take a look now at Mark 10, 46 to 52. And I'll show you what I mean. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus and his disciples are passing through Jericho. It's almost Passover, so they're pilgrims. They're on their way to Jerusalem, which is about 15 miles away. As they spend this time in Jericho, there are large crowds there, probably a mixture of the people who live in that city and have heard about Jesus. They've come out to hear what he has to say, and also other pilgrims who are on their way to Jerusalem as well. It's likely that Jesus is teaching everyone there about the kingdom of God, and I imagine a bit of a hush has fallen over that crowd as they strain to hear the words that Jesus shares. But a loud voice interrupts Jesus' teaching. It's this blind man, Bartimaeus, who has heard Jesus is nearby. And you can just imagine his voice ringing out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Imagine the volume of this cry as it breaks into and interrupts the teaching of Jesus. Imagine the emotion behind what he was saying. This was a person desperate for intervention, desperate for help. Imagine the faith it took.
for Bartimaeus to call out, not even knowing exactly where Jesus was, but to call out and trust that Jesus could do something for him. Those in the crowd implore him to stop, and we're told it just makes him cry out more and more, and Jesus finally calls him. And so by faith, he scrambles to his feet, he throws his cloak aside, and he stands before Jesus. Jesus asks him an odd question, I think, at that point. At least it seems odd at first. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Everything has stopped now. It's completely silent. Jesus' teaching has been disturbed, and Jesus finally has called this man over. And as the man stands before him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's quiet. Everyone wants to hear. But don't you think that everyone else is thinking, "Isn't it obvious, Jesus? The guy's blind. What is it that you want me to do for you?" He wants to see Jesus. Why would Jesus ask him such an obvious question? Does it seem even almost insulting to ask the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" But Jesus wants Bartimaeus, to participate in his own healing. He wants Bartimaeus to say it, to name it, to be a part of his restoration. So he does. "Rabbi, I want to see." And the moment he says this, he is healed. He receives his sight. He begins to follow after Jesus on the road. And in so doing, Bartimaeus becomes the perfect example for us of participating in our transformation. But how? How do we participate? Jesus isn't standing right in front of us. But if we're sitting here today and we're desiring to see transformation in our lives, how do we accept God's invitation to do just that, to engage in these things? Well, we respond to God's invitation to renovation and transformation through participation in spiritual practices. Remember, God is more interested in your healing and transformation than even you are. He's inviting us into that deeper experience. We simply need to accept his invitation. And spiritual practices are the way we do that. The church historically has locked faith right up here in the head. It's become an intellectual exercise. We read the scriptures, we memorize the scriptures, we understand the scriptures, we develop our creeds so that we can say what we believe, but if we're not careful, all of it stays right up here in our minds. We debate with one another whether we're right or wrong about all of these different theologies and all of these different issues, but again, it stays right up here in our head. And our faith is meant to encompass all of us. Yes, our minds, but also our emotions, also our bodies. Everything that encompasses who we are is meant to be engaged with our living God. And so we can't keep it up here. We need to let it sink all the way in. And many of these ancient practices, practices that have been a part of the church since its very inception, have just been left behind in the church. Oh, we grabbed a hold of a couple of them. Kyle alluded to it, where we talk about, you know, we got our Bible reading that we do each day, and then we got our prayers that we do, but it just kind of stops there. And the truth is, there are dozens of different spiritual practices that have been a part of the church and a part of Christianity for thousands of years. That's why we're going to spend some time across the next few weeks looking at these practices, trying to understand how they might be that invitation from God that draws us ever closer to him than we've ever been and really unleashes this renovation and transformation inside of us. I recognize for some of us in this room, this is like, "Yeah, bring this on. I am ready." Practices have been a part of my faith, and I'm looking forward to bringing a few new ones into practice in my faith. But for some of you, I know too, you're thinking, "Why are we bringing this like mystical stuff around? Why are you messing with this, Kevin? I don't know if I'm ready for this stuff." And no one in this room is going to be forced to do anything. But I do want us to go on a journey in these next couple months to be exposed to some of these and to see their scriptural roots, and to have an invitation in each new week to be able to practice something new, to see if this works in your life, to try them on for size, to see what it is that helps you uniquely to begin experiencing transformation and drawing closer to God. There are a lot of different spiritual practices. Just a sampling would be worship, celebration, service, prayer, confession, submission, meditation, solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, giving, service, simplicity, study. The list goes on and on. I've selected seven that we're going to cover in the next 7 weeks. A couple of them are the standards that you've probably practiced before, and some of them might be a little surprising to you. And we're going to explore together how we go about practicing these things. Next Sunday, we're going to start with meditative prayer. Not just prayer, but meditative prayer. A lot of us are accustomed to prayer that's sort of transactional. God, help me find a parking spot. I don't know if that's part of your prayer life or not, but, you know, God, please heal so-and-so. God, please help me on this test, those sorts of things. And that's a beautiful form of prayer, but it's not the only form of prayer. Meditative prayer is prayer that takes us deeper, that brings us closer. And so we're going to dig into that starting next Sunday. Lectio Divina is going to come the week after that. And we've done a little bit of that here in our services before. That's scripture, but it's sacred reading. It's a different style of reading. Often when we read scripture, we're just mining it for information. Lectio Divina is not just about information. It's about the way the scriptures move us. It's about the invitation of the scriptures to draw us closer to God. In week three, we're going to talk about honoring our bodies. Honoring our bodies. It's going to be about all that this body is to us and how this body is a part of the way we respond to God and worship God and serve God. And so we're going to dig into some of that, bringing our bodies into the practice of our faith. After that, we're going to talk about solitude and silence. We've talked a little bit about this before. This may well be the most challenging spiritual practice in our world today, solitude and silence. It feels like those are in short supply these days. Feels like our culture is moving a million miles an hour, and yet, to really settle into this transformation God wants to do in our souls, we've got to slow down. We've got to get away from distractions. So we're going to talk about some ways that we can do this, and it's not just going to be like, oh, you know, travel overseas to some monastery. It's going to be stuff that's real life here in our lives today, ways that we can practice these sorts of things. We're going to talk about feeling our emotions on one of the Sundays, bringing our emotions into our spiritual life, not stamping them down, not doubting them so much that we don't listen to them, but feeling the feels, feeling the emotions, and understanding the way the Holy Spirit works through that to help transform us along the way. We're going to talk about sacred space. Sacred space could be something crazy, some obscure place far away, but sacred space could also be that little corner of your backyard that you know every time you go there, this is where I meet God. We're going to talk about some ways to create a geography that draws us closer to God, practices that help in that. And then we're going to close in our final week with companionship and community. We're going to look at the fact that spiritual practices and being transformed by God, they're not just a solo affair. They involve companionship and they involve a community around us. Those are the practices that we're going to engage across the next 7 weeks. I am thrilled that we'll have a chance to do it. And I invite you to get started this week just with brainstorming what spiritual practice has been to you so far in your faith, looking through the list of the ones we're going to take on and seeing if any of them seem more intriguing that you might want to get a head start and start looking into them. And I also have an exercise that I want you to engage in this week as you prepare. I want you to use the questions that are in your bulletin to go along with the message today. Take your time working your way through there, unpacking what they're asking you to think about. And then before the week is done, find a little bit of time, a little bit of quiet space. Reread the story from our scripture today. And I want you to be Bartimaeus. I want you to settle into the experience of putting yourself in his place beside that dusty road, hearing that Jesus is present, calling out for his mercy, for his power to work in you, and then standing face to face with him and hearing him ask you that same question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do in your life? I want you to really soak up that scene and imagine what your answer might be. And then offer that to God in prayer. Say, God, meet me in these next couple months as I take on some spiritual practices that I never have before. Meet me, God, in your power, with your love, so that together we can experience that healing and transformation that you so desire in me. May healing and transformation come to each of us in the weeks ahead as we offer ourselves to our God in that way. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to you that you are so engaged with us. This is not some show where we engage in this Christian experience and these spiritual practices to try and get your attention, to try and impress you, to try and improve ourselves, but rather we are responding to you. We're responding to your love. We're responding to your invitation. We're responding to your Spirit who resides within us. And we're saying, please, renovate me, transform me, and draw me closer to you. Help our faith, God, to be more than just our minds. Help our faith to be all of who we are. Our mind, our soul, our emotions, our bodies. We bring all of ourselves before you. And we ask, Jesus, that you transform us. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.